Good morning. Welcome to South Fork Worship as we get a chance to worship together. I wish I could be there here in person with you. But today is my son's graduation day. And because of COVID, a unique schedule, we were all kind of being put upon to find a unique way to make all these things happen in a safe environment. So the elders have afforded me the opportunity to record this message in advance and also attend my son's graduation. And I'm very thankful for that. I want to share with you just a couple things before I dive into this lesson. Number one, I'm looking forward to next Sunday when we all get together. June 13th, 10 a.m., we will be meeting as one family, one body, in worship. And we are adding in more chairs. We are continuing to find a way for us to worship safely and work through maybe the final steps of COVID. As we worship together next Sunday, I look forward to an opportunity of hearing us all sing together, fellowship together, worship together. And I hope that you will join us. If you are online, continue to join us. We're going to start 15 minutes early. If you've been a part of our in-person services, please notice that we are joining together at 10 a.m. Last thing I want to share before I dive into this message. I'm shaking. I am not comfortable with what I get to say. For the last couple weeks, we've been looking at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, and today, whatever is pure. This concept of pure is difficult. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Now, for sure, I want to see God. For sure, I want to be pure in heart, but I cannot stand up in front of you. I cannot, in good conscience, come to you and say that my hands are pure, my heart is pure, my mind is pure. In fact, I would turn the table and ask you, are you pure of heart? Is that really how we would want to be labeled? I mean, that's how we want to be labeled, but is that really how we would label ourselves? As we dive into this, I've got a lot of fingers pointing at myself. I've been thinking about really where I am in my own self and sin and walk with the Lord. Proverbs 30, verse 12 says, "There are those who are pure in their own eyes, yet not washed from his filthiness." There's two generals in our history book that I want to share with you this morning, neither of which are without sin, but both are successful in their individual battles. Both are strategic and winning decisively. They are innovators and leaders. Both are courageous in facing danger. In fact, both have had their horses shot out from underneath them while in battle. Both of them will come out of their respective battles with gun holes, bullet holes in their cloak, their jackets, because of the gunfights that they've been in. Both are facing odds that in certain situations most would consider inconceivable or unwinnable. But one you love and one you don't. Both rise to position, both fame and glory. But when one didn't get what he wanted, he was led by his own desire. The other, when he was given more than he wanted, he yielded and declined. So before I bloviate on about these two nameless men, I want to share their names and connect a few dots. The first is General and President George Washington. The second is General Benedict Arnold. Now, you may remember from your history classes or from other places where Benedict Arnold was passed up for promotion after working hard for our country, after winning decisive victories, after putting his life literally on the line. He sought to solidify his fame, his position. And when that didn't happen within our newly formed nation or forming nation, he sought a fame and position with the British. Later in 1887, a former military leader and war historian put up a monument of the heroic acts of Benedict Arnold. And though at that time his name was vilified and omitted from the monument, this inscription was still put up. In memory of the most brilliant soldier of the Continental Army, who was desperately wounded on this spot, October 7th, 1777, winning for his countrymen the decisive battle of the American Revolution, and for himself the rank of Major General. Now, conversely, Washington purposely surrendered his military commission. He handed that over to Congress, therefore affirming kind of this principle that our military would have a civilian control. When King George III heard about Washington and what he had just did, he comments and he says, "Now, if he did this, he would be the greatest man in the world." And then again, Washington, after winning two unanimous elections, Washington peacefully handed over a nation that was ready to crown him as king. This morning, we're looking at this word pure. It's drawing a mirror into our own hearts and our own motives, our own thoughts, our own actions. And I think if we really were able to peer into our past, our present, our mind, that purity is what we desire in our marriage, in our home, in our workplace. Purity is what we seek after, but our lives and our own sinfulness and selfishness drives us away from that from time to time. Someone once said that there are only two kinds of people, those dead in sin and those dead to sin. John the Baptist said, "I must decrease and he must increase." It is this tug of war inside of us that is working for us to find the direction either towards purity or selfishness. Now, I want to pause, and I'm going to give two sides of this coin, because first I want to tell you that you are pure. You have been made pure. And this is an important aspect of our Christ relationship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17, and then a little bit later in verse 19, Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old is gone. The new is here. God is reconciling the world to himself and not counting people's sins against them." This is the good news, that we are considered washed clean and pure in the eyes of our Lord. And we are purified from every sin. Now, this is baffling to me. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says that if we are walking in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, God's own Son, purifies us from all sin. And that "all" right there is a continual, present, and past word. It is referring to the sins that we have committed in our past. It is talking about the things that right now are wrapping around our own heart and our own mind. It is talking about the sins that may come in our future, that Christ Jesus has purified us from all those sins. I don't understand how we are in Christ and still sinning. I know that there is not this "I'm in grace, I'm out of grace, in grace, out of grace" type of attitude with God. But I also know that we are not to continue sinning so that grace may abound. But yet, we have this wonderful relationship. And so we are made pure. Now, the other side of the coin is, do you remember that commercial, you're not clean unless you're zestfully clean? You're not purely pure either. And in 1 John, as we continue on, verses 8 through 10, it reminds us of this great important rule, that if we claim to be without sin, then we really are unpurified. However, if we are purified and we recognize the sin that we have, we're not fully purified, but we recognize we are washed clean and therefore we are pure. How does that work? By the grace of God, I guess. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and following says, if we claim to be without sin, if we claim to be without sin. Now, this is an easy thing for us to say. Well, yeah, we all sin. We all fall short. And it's not some sort of whitewash. It's not some sort of just blanket statement. This is a full recognition of my own failure that is being pointed out to me. The Holy Spirit is at work. God's word is diving into my heart, and it is showing me that I do have character defect. I do have selfish desire. I do have intent that is ungodly. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us. That cleansing process, he will purify us from all sin and all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to a liar, and his word is not in us. Paul will write to the Roman church in Romans chapter 12 that we are to continually be transformed. Don't be conformed. Don't be corrupted into this world's model, but be transformed by resetting, renewing your mind, putting it into God's word, letting God's spirit be alive and active in our lives. So we are pure, but we're not purely pure. And so we are going to continue to strive after God's holiness. We are continually recognizing that the sin that is ungodly, we have confessed to God, and he will continually cleanse us from that. Purification is not for those who never get dirty, but it is for those who wish to be clean again. Now, this is an important point because our world and our church often get this message confused. Purification, righteousness, holiness, however we want to describe this attribute of living after God's will, living like Christ in this world, is important for us because sometimes the world wants to say we are holier than thou, that we somehow have this air of we never mistake, we never mess up, we never sin, but yet then they will describe us as hypocrites when we do fall short. And oftentimes those inside the church are presenting an air that we have never mistaken. That once we've started walking, we are just now in this glorious, joyful state of utopia. We are following with Christ. We're in fellowship with one another, and we share all things, and there's never been a burden in our life. There's never been a distraction or a sin that has attracted us. And so we put on sometimes this air to the world. But purification is not for those who are never getting dirty, but it's for those who wish to be cleansed again. So John will continue on in 1 John chapter 2 now. He says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Here's the instruction. Here's the wish. Here's the aim. Don't sin. Pay attention to your life so that where you're living, how you're living, the direction you're going is powerful. It is right. It is God-centered. But, he says, if anyone does sin. Now, again, let's just all get our pointer finger out and put it in the right spot. Now, if anyone does sin, listen to what he says. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. It's time for us as the church to stop pretending like we don't sin. John just said, if we act that way, we are deceiving ourselves and we make him out to be a liar. But if we live with this awareness that there is sin in my life, there is mistakes in my world, I'm going to share that with you. You're going to share that with me. We're going to confess that and help the world see that we are in need of purification as well. Then we have this advocate with the Father, that is Jesus Christ. He is the righteous one. And last but not least, this purity, this pure conception that is supposed to be in our lives is passed not because we are so religious or pharisaical that we follow the rules so well. It's actually on the contrary, that we actually are helping the world to see our need for Jesus in our lives. That wasn't a one-time need. That is a continual need. Purity is past when the world will see our need for Jesus in our lives. In John chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse 2, 1 John 2, verse 2, it says this: He is the anointing sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. It gives us this message that our desire should be for purity, for our own soul and sake. Our understanding of sin is not that we are cleansed and now never get dirty again, but that we continually confess. And not only do we continually confess and receive that grace, that purification from our advocate, Jesus, but this has also been a sacrifice for us and for the world. Paul writes this glorious example in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting in verse 16, he writes about how we are to be examples. So he says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in that way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Now, all this is from God, he says, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Notice what Paul just said. He said, now all of this is happening, and not only did he wipe us clean, but he involved us now in the process of helping others to become purified. He's given us this ministry of reconciliation. Now, what is that? That is, God was not reconciling the world to himself, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God himself were making this appeal through us. So now we implore you, we ask you, we beseech you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be pure in your relationship, you might say. God has made him who had no sin to be sin for me, for you, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our God is a consuming fire. He consumes those filthy, selfish acts of the flesh. He consumes pride and lust, materialism, and all these other sins. He is purifying us as we continue to walk with him. This morning, I want to remind us to think on the things that are true, to think on the things that are noble, to think on the things that are right, and those things that are pure. We're going to focus and direct our heart and our mind towards that this week. I pray that in your walk with Christ this week, that you will see the opportunity for sin to be rooted out, to be confessed to our Heavenly Father. I hope and pray that you will see the strength that comes from believers sharing their weaknesses with one another. Not that we will beat each other up, but that we will support one another and we will help one another as we seek for God to continually cleanse us of all our sin. This week, we have an opportunity to be a light in our community as we share the redemption and the power of the Spirit living in our lives. If we confess our sins, then he is faithful and he washes us clean. If we act like we don't have sin, we actually continually hold on to that filth in our life. We make him out to be a liar, and the truth is not in us. This morning, I pray that if there's anything that you need advice with, if you need prayer and counsel, our shepherds are standing by, and they would love to stand out or sit out with in the lobby with you and pray with you and for you. Our office is going to be open throughout the week, and we would love to counsel and study the Bible with you. There is no greater time to set your mind on the things that are true, noble, right, and pure. Let us transform, reset our mind on His glorious thoughts and His purpose.
Lord, take my life, make it yours.